My name is Garland Robinson. When discussing God's plan of salvation and how baptism in water is essential for salvation, many people often ask, well, what about the thief on the cross? Many say, well, he wasn't baptized, and yet Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt be with me in paradise. How then can you teach that water baptism stands between an individual and salvation? Well, to begin with, there's no proof that the thief was not baptized. The Bible says all Judea went out to be baptized of John. Perhaps this man had been in that number. I'm not saying that he was baptized, but neither can you or anyone else say that he wasn't. We don't know. The Bible does not address that particular point. While Jesus was on earth, he had power to forgive sins. After Jesus left this earth, obedience to his new covenant was and is the only thing that can save. Now, let's consider the thief on the cross. The Bible teaches that we must rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 tells us that. And we can conclude from that passage that in order to be approved of God, we must rightly divide, that is, handle correctly the word of truth. We can't be careless in our study, so we have to seek to understand what the will of the Lord is. The Bible tells us under what law the thief lived and died. It was the law of Moses. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. So we understand then that the thief lived and died under the law of Moses. The law of Moses did not command or demand that people be baptized for the remission of sins. The new law of Christ did not go into effect until Jesus had died, been buried, and was raised from the dead and ascended back into the Father in heaven. That did not come about, and the law did not first begin to be preached until the day of Pentecost. It was necessary for Jesus, who's the author of the New Testament, to die before His testament could be put into force. So the conclusion is that the thief lived and died under the Old Testament, commonly called the Law of Moses. And all who understand the Lord's Word understand that that is exactly the case. But today the Bible teaches that we live under a different law than the thief lived under. We live under the law of Christ. In Matthew 26:28, we read, For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Hebrews 10, verse 9 and 10 says that Jesus came to take away the first, that He might establish the second. That is, He took away the first law, the law of Moses, that He might establish the second law, the law of Christ, or the New Testament. And Hebrews 7:12 says the priesthood was changed, and that made of necessity a change also of the law. Individuals living since the death of Jesus and the establishment of His church are either forgiven or condemned by the terms of the New Testament, not the Old Testament. Christ came to fulfill the old law, and then through His death instituted a new law, a New Testament. Jesus is now our high priest. He was born of the tribe of Judah, not of the tribe of Levi. The tribe of Levi was the priestly tribe of the Old Testament, and therefore that change in the priesthood made it necessary that the law also changed. So we all will be judged by Jesus Christ and His words, not the words of the Old Testament, as which the thief on the cross was judged. And now, consider this point. The Bible teaches Jesus commanded His followers to be baptized in water for the remission of sins, but that did not occur until after the Lord's resurrection and the gospel was preached beginning on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Before the Lord ascended, He said, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. just as he said the same thing in Mark 16:15-16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's the same message preached on the day of Pentecost, the day the church began, the day the New Testament era began. In Acts chapter 2, we read in verse 38, where Peter said, along with the other apostles, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That was the same thing practiced. Romans 6 verse 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Then notice verse 6 of Romans 6. Knowing this, that is, at the point one is baptized, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. So when the man from Ethiopia, you remember, was riding in the chariot, Philip teaching him the word of the Lord, they came to a certain body of water. The man said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And they commanded the chariot to stand still. The man was baptized. Why? Because he saw the urgency, the essentiality of baptism, that his sins might be washed away by the blood of Christ. So the conclusion from all of these passages is that after the Lord's resurrection, Jesus commanded his followers to baptize in water for the remission of sins. We realize this to be true because that's what they did. Not only did the Lord teach it, that's what the apostles and others of the first century did. They practiced those very things. It was a burial into his death where Jesus shed his blood. Since Jesus gave this commandment after his resurrection, the thief could not have obeyed it because he was already dead. Only those who lived after the Lord's resurrection and ascension were subject to the command of Jesus, such as the man from Ethiopia in Acts chapter 8, such as Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, such as Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22. You remember how Ananias came to Saul and said, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. So considering all that the Scriptures teach, we learn that anyone who hears the gospel, Romans 10 and verse 17, believes the facts of the gospel, which are the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, repents of their sins, confesses faith in Jesus Christ that he is the Son of God and Savior of the world, and is baptized into water for the remission of sins, those individuals become children of God. Galatians 3:26 and 27 says, for we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, when did that occur? He says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So, friend, the thief on the cross didn't have to be baptized because he lived and died under a different law. The law of the Old Testament did not require, did not demand water baptism for the remission of sins. And it'd be foolish for us to claim our rights under a law that was during the time of Abraham. We don't live under that law, or even Abraham Lincoln. We don't live under the law of well over 125 years ago. That was a different time, a different law. It's obsolete. We don't live under that law, and we can't be judged under that law. If we had lived in those days, then we have been judged according to that law. But today, we live under a different law, and we'll be judged under a different law. The spiritual law in effect today is the law of Jesus Christ, which is the law of the New Testament. Now, while Jesus was on earth, we've already mentioned that he had the power to forgive sins. Being deity, the Son of God, that was his privilege. He is the creator. He's the sustainer of the universe. If he decided to do something, then he has every right to do that. But the words he spake, and the apostles' writing, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Those are the words that are going to judge us now, because you see, Jesus is not on earth. He does not live now. He's not personally with us. And he left word that would conduct the affairs in this world and how people were to live. That is the New Testament. That is the Scripture. And the Scriptures are complete. No one will ever go to heaven unless they obey the things written in the Scriptures, the New Testament, the Bible. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. When we obey Christ, he adds us to his church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. We do not belong to a denomination. You then can enjoy the greatest blessings in life by being just a Christian and worshiping God upon the first day of the week, as we find recorded in his word. This inspiring and acceptable worship includes the Lord's Supper each first day of the week, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. It includes the privilege of giving or the offering, as we have been prospered, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. It involves the hearing of the word of God, the teaching and preaching of his word, praying together, singing praises unto God. We should continue by faith as we worship in spirit and in truth. That is the New Testament pattern of acceptable worship. Now remember, it is God's desire that you obey him and be saved. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Churches of Christ everywhere seek for people to return to the teaching of God's Word, serve him as he would have us to do every day of our lives. So the point is, no one has a right to do things their own way. That's true of me, that's true of you. We must rightly divide the Word. We've got to all go by the Scripture. Let's be honest and do what God has commanded us to do. The thief did not have to be baptized because he lived under a different law. Well, we don't live under that law. We live under the law of Christ. And that law of Christ demands that we be baptized. So why not accept, in simple, faithful obedience, the commands of God and do what God has commanded us to do? My name is Garland Robbins.